Good evening to everybody. Parshas Kisavu, of course, discusses at great length the brachos and klalos that Klal Yisrael received, second time in the Sefer Torah, and Chamisha Chamshi Torah that we read of brachos and klalos, the first, of course, being at the end of Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Machkosai. Here, for the second time in Mishnah Torah, we read of the klalos and the brachos that the Torah records that Moshe Rabbeinu issues to Klal Yisrael. And amongst the variety of klalos that we receive and read about, we read the following. Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Vav, the Torah informs us, Arur Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah, those cursed is the one who does not uphold the words of the Torah, La'asos Osam, in order to obey them. The Amar Kol Am Amen, and the entire nation, Klal Yisrael responded to this Arur, to this curse of not upholding the Torah by responding Amen. What's the pshat in this pasuk, and how do you understand the curse, and what it is that Klal Yisrael accepted when they said, cursed is he who does not accept the Torah? Rashi understands, Asher lo yakim es divri ha-Torah zos, means, kan klal es kol ha-Torah kula. Here the Torah reveals and is incorporating the entire corpus of the Torah in its totality, the kiblu alein the ol v'shua, and Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, accepted upon themselves the Torah with oath and with complete swearing. That here is the place where Klal Yisrael themselves accepted the Torah with a swear, with a promise, and with full conviction. Certainly we said, Nasi v'nishma et matan Torah, but there was no Allah, and there was no here, with the acceptance and answering Amen, Asher lo yakim es divrei ha-Torah hazos, Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah be'Allah u'v'shua. The Ramban explains differently. And he says, Lefi daiti, according to me, my understanding is the pasuk ki hakabbalah zos, this acceptance is shiyuda the mitzvos belibo, that Klal Yisrael should accept and hearken to the mitzvos of the Torah in their heart. V'yu be'en of emes, and we should believe in the mitzvos of the Torah. V'yamin and believe shahaosa osan yeloschar v'tova, that a person who accepts the mitzvos upon himself and fulfills the mitzvos will receive reward and good. And one who does not fulfill the mitzvot and transgresses the mitzvot and performs averos ultimately will be punished. And anybody who is kofir in any of the mitzvot of the Torah, or anybody thinks that the mitzvot of the Torah are simply nullified at some point, that person is cursed. Here the Ramban understands a bit different than Rashi. Not that they were accepting the Torah, but all of Yeshua, but rather it's referring to every person accepting their heart of hearts, that they should make sure to accept the Torah with full conviction, and anyone who does not do as such will ultimately be cursed. However, the Ramban mentioned another final pshat, which he called Al-Derech Agada, a homiletic pshat. And the Ramban says that the pasuk is specifically referring to Asher Lo Yakim, as Divrei HaTorah, as those one who does not uplift the Torah, is referring to a chazan. She'eino mekeim sifrei Torah lahamidon kitiknan shelo yiplu. It's referring to a chazan, what we refer to as a person who's doing hagbah, who doesn't lift up the Torah, and they will ultimately fall down. Somebody's not careful to hold the Torah up properly. That person is not being mekeim, is not uplifting and upholding the Torah. Continues the Ramban and says, V'linira, it seems to me, that this is referring to a chazan, or a person who's doing the mitzvah of Hagbah, she'nu mekim sefer Torah latibur, laharos p'nei ksivasa l'kol. It's referring to somebody who doesn't lift the Torah up to show the ksav, the letters of the Torah, to the entire congregation. And the Ramban quotes, Mesechet Sofim, Perek Yudalit, Mishnah Yudalit, she'vet magbiah has to lift up the sefer Torah, turn it to the entire nation, and show it to the assembly, the congregation, Sibel Yemino Lusmolo, to the right and the left, front and back, because mitzvah lechol anoshim v'hanoshim liros hakasu v'lechroa v'lomar v'zosa Torah shesamosha. And there, the Mishnah says, and the Sechet Sofim teaches, from here, from this very pasuk, you see that there's indeed a mitzvah to lift up the Sefer Torah when you're doing Agbah, in order that everybody sees it. It's clear from the words of the Ramban that here is an explicit place, an explicit source in the Makor, in the Torah, to lift up the Sefer Torah in a way that it's clear to the entire nation, to the people, and the minute. The words of the Ramban are quoted by later Achronim, And to machlokas achronim, indeed, whether or not lifting up the hagba, the sefer Torah, to show the people whether it's a din diraita. The pasuk says, arasha lo yakin es divrei haTorah zos. And according to the Ramban, al pi agada, it means magbia, the sefer Torah is showing it to everybody. The Chasam Sofer learns that according to the Ramban in the Tshuva, Yoredes, and Reish Ayin Vav, chiyuvo karov l'diraita. The chiyuv to lift up the sefer Torah and to make sure when you're doing hagba to show it to everybody, it's close to being a din diraita based upon the explicit pasuk. Pirkei Yosef, whoever, and Shirei Brachah, and those days argues that this pasuk can't be used as a mokor for din diraita to show the entire tzibur, the ksav, and the osios of the sefer Torah. Rather, eino ela asmachta. It's only a way of remembering, recalling, but it doesn't literally mean that it's a din diraita that you have to lift the sefer Torah in order for everybody to see it. Rather, in choshe shema yipo ein tzarach magbi. If you're concerned that the sefer Torah might fall, there's no need to be magbi of the sefer Torah. Nonetheless, whether it's a din diraisa, whether it's only a smachta, the machlokas between the chasam sefer and the shir bracha, la halacha, the words of the Ramban and this meseches sofer in Perek Yudal is brought la halacha by the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Lamed Dalet Seif Beis, and I quote. It's the requirement and the responsibility of the Magbiah to lift up the Sefer Torah in order that the Tzibur sees the Ksav of the Sefer Torah, to the right and to the left, and turn front and back entirely so that everybody is able to see the Sefer Torah. The Shulchan Aruch says, Shemitzval kol anoshim v'noshim liros haksav v'lechroa Lomer v'zosa Torah, Torah Hashem Tamima. Here, Beragol requests that the Mekor of the Shulchan Aruch is our Ramban in Parshas Kitavo, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chavav. By way of introduction, it's important to point out there are fundamentally three differences between the way Sfardim and Ashkenazim do Hagbah. Of course, Sfardim, as it's listed in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, immediately after taking out the Sefer Torah, prior to Kriyas HaTorah, Sfardim do Hagba at that point, prior to Kriyas HaTorah, as opposed to us, Ashkenazim, we do Hagba after Kriyas HaTorah. That's difference number one. Either before Kriyas HaTorah, like the Sfardim, or after Kriyas HaTorah, like the Ashkenazim. The second fundamental difference between Sfardic practice and Ashkenazic practice vis-a-vis Hagba is that the Sfardim, one person does both Hagba and Gula. One individual lifts up the Sefer Torah and then closes it. Ashkenazim, of course, it's two kibudim. One person does Hagba, the second person is Golo, closes the Sefer Torah, that's the second difference. The third difference is that according to the Sfardim, so the Shulchan Aruch says, that when they do Hagba, they lift the Sefer Torah and the Ksav of the Sefer Torah facing the Tzibur. That means that the face of the Sefer Torah, the writing of the Sefer Torah, is facing away from the actual Magbiah. As opposed to Ashkenazim, when we do Hagba, the person doing Hagba, the Magbiah, the Sefer Torah is facing him, and the outside of the Sefer Torah is the Golel, is Magbiah, that is blank. So those are three differences between the way Sfardim and Ashkenazim do Hagba and do Gvila. It's important to point out a number of significant diukim in the Shulchan Aruch as to how to properly do Hagba and how to properly do Gvila, and at the same time, the Tzibur, how they should act during Hagba and Gvila. So read the Shulchan Aruch carefully. The Shulchan Aruch gives directions both to the Magbiah as well as to the Tzibur. The first thing that the Shulchan Aruch writes is that the responsibility of the Magbiah is to be Mare Pnei Ksiva Sefer Torah La'am Ha'omdim. That the responsibility of the Magbiah is to make sure the entire Tzibur sees the Sefer Torah. Now, how does he do that? Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that he has to turn in four different ways. Firstly, Yamino, to the right, then L'smola, to the left, then L'fanav, to the front, and then L'achra. That means you would face four different directions. Of course, kol pino shat upon the yamin, you always start turning to the right. So the Magbiah should first turn to the right, then he should turn to the left, then he should turn to the front, and then he should turn to the back. That would seem to be what the Shulchan Aruch indicates. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out, and this way Chaznish understood as well, is rather what the Magbiah should do is to make a 360. When he's picking up the Sefer Torah doing Hagba, he should pick it up and turn toward the right and turn the Sefer Torah throughout the perimeter of the Beis HaKnesses, and make sure in that fashion that everybody sees the Sefer Torah. That is the way the Chazon Ish understood, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah understood as well. The Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, and quoting the Shari Ephraim in Shari Yud, Osi Gimel, Osi Dalet, points out that the ideal way to do Hagva is by showing three columns. That would be Lechatchila. However, the Shari Ephraim, as well as the Mishnah Berurah, point out if a person is unable to do that, that's okay. You shouldn't lift it if there's any concern whatsoever of potentially falling, and we don't want that to happen, of course. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah also points out that ideally, one should not give the mitzvah of Hagbah to somebody who can't lift it up properly. We don't want to find ourselves in a situation where somebody who's a tash koch or somebody who's weak, who's unable to lift up the Sefer Torah, is going to be forced to lift it up and is not going to be successful in doing so. Therefore, the Gabbai should be careful to give the mitzvah of Hagbah to an appropriate person. Interestingly enough, the Shai Ephraim here in Sif Yudalev and Shar Yud points out an interesting minhag that some have, and based upon a shlach. The shlach says that naturally the way most of us do Hagbah is by lifting up the Sefer Torah when the Sefer Torah is already open on the bima. However, says the Shai Ephraim, yesh magbim yal shulchan Sefer Torah kamosh yistuma. Some people have the custom to lift up the Sefer Torah when it's still closed. Ube'ez shemachzikin osa, when they lift it up, Hagba lemala, when they lift it up higher, golo poteach b'gimel dapin. They literally open up the Sefer Torah once it's only in the air and closed. So you lift it up closed and open it up three columns. That's a minhag the Shai Ephraim quotes from the Shlach. The Shai Ephraim continues and says, Mishenu batuach, somebody's not sure if they're able to do such a thing. Kiyaskiv b'kofo, shuchol l'achvita heite, basically lasso. Should be careful. Don't get in trouble. Don't set yourself up for trouble. Ideally, if you can do that, it's a nice thing to do, according to the Shlach. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring this in the standard way to do Hagbah first. It's simply lifting it off from the bima when it's already open. But if anybody has that minhag, of course, the minhag comes from the Shai Ephraim, quoting the Shlach. That is the halachas of the Magbia, the person who's actually doing Hagbah. What are the halachas of the Omdin, the Tzibur? What are their requirements and what are their responsibilities? So the first thing that the Shulchan Aruch points out is that it's a mitzvah liros. It's a mitzvah to actually see the ksav of the Sefer Torah. And commenting on those words, the Mishnah Berurah says in Os Yud Aleph, V'tov shire ha'osyos ad she'yachol l'krosam. You should be able to look at the ksav of the Sefer Torah in order that you can even read an actual word. A great light comes unto one who is able to actually see the ksav of the Sefer Torah. Later, Poskim and Kubalim point out also that one should look for the os, the letter that begins his name. So that is another item that some mention. Furthermore, besides just seeing the Sefer Torah, there is an interesting custom that some of us are familiar with, that when the Mishnah Berurah and the Mechaber says that you should say Vizos HaTorah, some have the custom to take their pinky and to point at the Sefer Torah and say Vizos HaTorah, this is the Torah. Interesting love, it's very hard to find the source for that custom, which for many is common. It's certainly not brought in the classic poskim. However, the Sefer Piskei Tshuva is here in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Os Zayin Ha'ara 31, he points out that indeed the man Lois, the classic Torah commentator in this week's Parsha, Parshas Kisavo, in Dibur HaMaschil, the common Minhagim, quote, that there is such a custom to actually point with one's pinky at the Sefer Torah. Furthermore, Reb Chaim Kalachi, the well-known Sfardic Halachic authority in his Sefer HaChaim, quotes in Siman Gimel Ozvav that there also is such a custom. Interestingly enough, the famed Rosh Hashiva of Hebron, Reb Simcha Zissel Broidy, in his Sefer Sam Derech, on this week's Parsha and Parsha's Kitava, notes that some people have this custom, Mahadrin Lahoshit Etzba Ketana La Sefer Torah L'Nashka. Some people have this custom to take their pinky and to point and to kiss their pinky. We don't understand where this came from, how this custom came about, but nonetheless, we do find that there could potentially be two makoros in the Me'am Lo'ed, as well as in Reb Chaim Palachi's Sefer HaChaim. Besides for actually looking at the Sefer Torah, as is the mitzvah upon the Tzibur, the Shulchan Aruch also says, lichroa, that one should bow. And that's interesting because rarely do we find anybody bowing when the Magbia lifts up the Sefer Torah. Indeed, if you do look in the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you should be roa haksav v'lichroa, and to bow. Why there are those who don't bow is hard to know. It is an explicit Shulchan Aruch. And again, Rav Simcha Zissel Broidy in his Sefer Sanderach says he doesn't understand. How can it be that people are pointing and kissing their pinky when they look at the Sefer Torah? Well, we don't know a meaning for that. When Mi'ikar Hadin, you're supposed to bow that nobody's doing. However, there is a limud chus as to why some don't bow. The Berkei Yosef here in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph of Katan Gimel quotes from the Shulchan Giborim, who says, "V'nira be'ayinai." It seems to me that when the Shulchan Aruch said to be korea, to be a bow, he didn't mean literally to bow. Rather, it means to stand in front of the Torah, but not to bow, because lo nimtza b'chol haTorah shemishtachavin afilu l'Aron Kodesh. We never find anywhere in the Torah that there's any mitzvah to bow, even to the Aron Kodesh. So certainly that can't be what the Shulchan Aruch means, and therefore that would be a potential limud chus as to why there are those who don't bow. Finally, the last thing the Shulchan Aruch, the Tzibur, is to say, Lomar, v'zot haTorah and Torah Hashem Tmima. Some conclude after saying, v'zot haTorah shasa Moshe, le'en b'nei Yisrael, al-pi Hashem b'yad Moshe. There are those who add that as well. So there are three requirements on the congregation. One is a literal tzaksav, to make sure that the Tzibur, when the Hagbah is taking place, can see the tzaksav of the Sefer Torah. Ideally, you should be able to see the letters and make them out. More so, some have the custom to actually look for the first letter of their name. The second requirement is l'chroa, some bow, but certainly to stand, that is critical. And finally, lomar, to recite the words, v'zos haTorah asher sam Moshe. The mitzvah on the magbia, the person who's actually doing hagba, is to make sure that the tzibur had the ability to see the Sefer Torah, either it's by turning in the four directions, first right, and then left, and front, and then back, or the way the Mishnah Berurah has Nishin to indicate, is just to do a complete 360, and at that point, to allow everybody to see the Ksav of the Sefer Torah. That's when it comes to Hagba. If you take a look later in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin, that is where the Shulchan Aruch continues the halachas of Hagba and starts discussing Galila. And the first thing that the Shulchan Aruch comments is when it comes to Galila, Asur lechos a Sefer Torah arum b'lo mitbachas. It's prohibited to hold the Sefer Torah with one's bare hand without holding on to something else, without touching something else. And you look and you'll see that those who are doing Hagba and Galila, certainly if it's difficult or hard to roll the Sefer Torah, they take the mantle, or they take the yartel of the Sefer Torah, they take their talis in order not to touch the Ksav, the actual columns and the of the Sefer Torah. The Atzei Chaim is permitted to touch, but not the Ksav of the Sefer Torah, and that's something to be cautious and something to be careful of. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says in Siman Kaf Mem Zayin, Gadol Shebaosam Shekara Batara Galilo. The greatest kibud that we have is today what's referred to as Hagba. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says Golilo, Galila, nonetheless, the ultimate mitzvah, the greatest kibbut, is indeed to do Hagba, and is notel schar kulam, receives the reward of everybody. Over the generations, it seems that the custom of Hagba and Galila is not necessarily one that is sought after as much. We're more interested in getting an aliyah, but nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah does point out that the Gra himself, both in the Bir Gra as well as what he did, that he was the one who actually did Hagba, and he wanted the schar of Kulam, even though today the custom has become that many people look after doing something else as well. Another important point that the Mishnah Berurah says is, even though it's such a great mitzvah and we want to give it to the Gadol Shebekulam, the custom developed that indeed we're willing to give Galila to a katan, to a young child, to a boy, even though he hasn't reached the age of Bar Mitzvah. And the reason the Mishnah Berurah says that they do so is in order to be mechanich the ktanim, in order to allow them to appreciate the mitzvah and appreciate the beauty of the mitzvah of Hagba and Galila, and certainly to appreciate the significance of the Sefer Torah Bechlal. That, to a certain extent, wraps up the mitzvah of Hagba, the mitzvah of Galila, the importance of the mitzvah of Hagba and Galila, all stemming from what would seem to be a pasuk which we would have never imagined to be the source of the halachas of Hagba and Galila, but according to the Ramban, homiletically, of Piderach HaAgada, as he writes, the reason and the simple homiletic understanding of the pasuk, Arur Asher Lo Yakin as Divrei HaTorah Zos, cursed is he who does not uplift the Torah, is referring to somebody who doesn't lift the Torah up in shul in order for the entire tzibur to see the Sefer Torah. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, and Poskim point out from these halachas the significance of the Sefer Torah, standing up for the Sefer Torah when the Aron Kodesh is open, walking, following the Sefer Torah as it goes around the Beis HaKnesses when you take it out, and the strong custom that many have to be menashek the Sefer Torah, to kiss the Sefer Torah, to show the beauty of the Sefer Torah, the importance of the Sefer Torah, and the significance of the Ksav HaSefer Torah and the Torah in general. When we zochet to continue to learn Torah, to understand the Torah, to delve into the Torah, to follow the Torah, in all of its ways and to be fulfilling of the halachos of hagla and gula properly.